benefit of the new commissioners. I'm Ben Stagg. I am an environmental engineer in Habitat Division. I wear another hat. The agency also co-manage the engineering surveying department that manages the Orchard Leasing Program along with Mr. Hank Badger. We are considered twins. Today I'll be kind of wearing both hats with this project. This is a habitat permit project, but it does impact the oyster lease, so I hope my expertise will help you with that. It's a little complicated because of the way the law is written, but we'll move forward, and if you have any questions at the end, hopefully I'll be able to answer them. That said, this is an application from Mr. Grant Etheridge. He is requesting authorization to construct a 5-foot by 222-foot open pile private use pier to include a 5-foot by 52-foot finger pier, another 5-foot by 12-foot jet ski finger pier, and also to construct a open-sided boathouse roof of 17 by 39 feet, all adjacent to his property, which is located along the Nansemond River at 2603 Nansemond Drive South in the city of Suffolk. The request is protested by the Orchard Ground leaseholder over whose lease this pier is proposed to encroach. Again, the project is located in the city of Suffolk, Route 17, the Nansemond River Mill Godwin Bridge. Again, the Nansemond River. This is heading towards Portsmouth, heading back towards Olivine County. In the Nansemond River, the project is upstream of the bridge. On this point, known locally as Newman's Point. There's a subdivision here. Mr. Etheridge owns a home near the point. And Arrow is the location, approximate location of the proposed pier. This is an aerial photograph of the area, zoomed in a little closer. Again, this is the Nansemond Shores Holiday Point Estates subdivision. Mr. Etheridge's house is in this location. Again, the pier would be generally in this location. These are all Orchard Ground leases in the area. The subject lease and the leaseholder that's protesting has this lease that wraps around the point. It's a rather large lease. Again, I've read into the record the structure that's being requested. As pursuant is required by the code, we did notify the Orchard Ground leaseholder that this pier would encroach over their lease in a letter dated May 15th of this year. Soon thereafter, we did receive a phone call from Ms. Carolyn Newman, who is the leaseholder, indicating concerns with the proposed location over their lease. She subsequently visited our office along with Mr. Tim Zimmerman, where they expressed a more detailed concern about the size of the pier and its location and its potential impact on the use of their lease. They did suggest at that time that they would be amenable to the pier as proposed, the entire structures, if it were moved more towards the southern property line of Mr. Etheridge. This is Mr. Etheridge's house. Property line, he does own out to the end of this point on the southern side, or the western side. Again, his property goes off in this direction, and then his other property line runs kind of parallel with this house down to the shoreline. So the proposed and this would be of the approximate location and name of the pier as originally proposed. I just have a line here. Obviously, you'll see the pier drawing in a minute with the additional end structures. The leaseholder's proposal was to have the pier moved as far south as possible and stay within the riparian area of the Etheridge's property, which would generally put it about in this location here. And you'll see a slide with that proposed location. Future. Section 28.2-1205D of the Code states, in part, a permit is required and shall be issued by the Commission for the placement of any private pier that measures more than 100 feet in length from the mean low water mark, which is used for non-commercial purposes by the owner of the riparian lands in the waters opposite that land, and that traverses a commercially productive leased oyster or clam ground, as defined in 28.2630 of the code, provided the pier does not extend beyond the navigation line established by either the Commission or the Army Corps of Engineers. The permit may reasonably prescribe the design and location of the pier for the sole purpose of minimizing the adverse impact on such oyster or clam grounds or the harvesting or propagation of oysters or clams therefrom. To get the definition of commercially productive oyster grounds, you have to go to 28.2630 of the code, which defines either oyster or clam grounds as commercially productive if those areas can be demonstrated to have, one, suitable substrate for oyster or clam production, and evidence of commercial oyster or clam production within the past 3 years. Staff did conduct a site visit to the ground to determine if there was suitable substrate. We did determine that we believe that was true over the, maybe not the entire ground, but the area of the ground that's in front of Mr. Etheridge's house, which is, he's obviously limited in putting his pier somewhere within his riparian area. So we did determine that that criteria was met in the code. We also asked the leaseholder to provide information on productivity on the ground, and they did indicate that the ground was being used commercially. We did get three letters, which are in your packet, from watermen who say they have worked the ground and believe it's commercially productive. We did check with our mandatory reporting requirements here, and while fairly minimal, there has been commercial activity reported on this lease. And the day we actually visited the site and checked the bottom, there were two watermen actually working the ground, and we observed in their boat probably at least 20 bushels of market-sized oysters that were harvested the day we were there. Therefore, we believe it also meets the second criteria of the code, that it has substrate and it is commercially productive ground. So now we're back to 28.2.1205, which does require the commission to take action on minimizing the impact to the greatest extent possible for the pier encroachment. The law is very clear that the commission shall issue a permit for a pier, so the property owner does get a pier, but staff, per the code, has to minimize the impact. So quickly, we'll just go through the application as received. This shows the roof portion of the structure as well as the vicinity map location again on Newman's Point. This is a general overview of what the pier would look like in relationship to the property and the property lines. Again, as you can see, the property goes out to the point in this direction, and this would be the area that the leaseholder had originally suggested would be the preferred location. This is a more detailed look at the actual structures that were proposed. Again, it's a 5-foot wide pier as proposed, with the finger pier creating the slip, a second finger pier with a jet ski lift, and then a L-head structure on the side. Again, this does traverse more than 100 feet from mean low water. This is the approximate mean low water line. And as you can see, it extends out in this direction. You have to do a little math here to figure out what the difference is, but right there is from mean high water. No, that's from mean low water. So it's 150 feet from mean low water as currently proposed. The applicant has indicated they do need to reach this depth of water for the boat that they have in order to be able to actually access the pier at low tide. This is a relatively shallow area along the shoreline as you come inshore. And these depths they basically are looking for 3 feet. We did inform both parties of the sections of the code that apply here and that we did deem the ground commercially productive and a permit would be required. We also informed all parties that based on previous advice provided by our legal counsel that the commission could only permit a pier structure with no additional L or T head structures, finger piers, or boathouse structures. So that information was given to both the applicant and the leaseholder. We suggest the applicant suggested they were conducive to possibly moving the location of the pier to the south, approximately halfway between their original location and that asked for by the leaseholder, which is shown in this slide. So this was the original proposed location. This was the original suggested relocation by the leaseholder. This is the compromise that Mr. Etheridge said they'd be willing to move it this far. The reason that they do not want to move it to this location is they don't feel it's fair to their neighbor who has a view that looks out in this direction, and it would be putting it right up against his view shed and right against the property line, and they don't want to impose that upon the neighbor. The neighbor does not object currently. We've got no objections from the adjacent property owners for the proposed location. We're not sure if it is moved whether there would be a protest or not. We'd have to be notified of the adjacent property owners with the new location. This information was provided to the leaseholder. They did indicate, and it is in your packet in the I think number 8 in an email, that basically their new position was that their only acceptable location now would be a pier of no more than 100 feet from mean low water. And let me explain that to you, because if the pier were less than 100 feet from mean low water, up to or less than 100 feet, and it was in the lease, which it still would be, it would be statutorily authorized by the code for everything they asked for, boathouse, finger piers, L-head, with the only caveat is that they must notify the leaseholder of the location they're proposing, and the leaseholder would have up to a year to move any oyster or resource out of the way of the pier location, after which the pier builder could proceed to build their pier. So it would basically call what we call a no permit necessary pier. That's provided, again, the adjacent property on its own objective to the house roof. So that was the final thing we got back from the leaseholder, that it appears they're no longer really requesting that the pier be moved south, that they would prefer that the person wanting to build a pier build the 100-foot or less pier, that option, and they would probably exercise their right to have a year to move their – that's a civil matter between the leaseholder and the applicant. So that's where we are with that, I believe. I believe the applicant will proffer an alternate plan as well today, which we are prepared to show you, but we'll wait for them to get up and address you concerning that. We did, as we say, we notified adjacent property owners of no objections. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers determined that the project did qualify for their regional permit 17 that was referenced in the previous application in a letter from the Corps on May the 20th, 2014. So it is authorized by the Corps. As I said, no other persons or agencies have commented on the project. Therefore, our summary and recommendation is, well, first let me show you this section of the code, because you may have a question about earlier when I said our legal counsel has informed us that all we can recommend is a pier. If it's more than 100 feet and it's in commercially productive oyster ground, this is a section of the advice we were given from the Attorney General. It's not the entire opinion. There are some things in it that aren't germane to this case. But this is the language, and because this is fairly important to our recommendation, I'd like to read it into the record. Because 28.2613 guarantees the absolute right of a leaseholder to continue and use and occupy his ground for the term of his lease subject to riparian rights, the Commission may not permit use of that leased ground more than what the riparian rights expressly provide for, or the Code of Virginia expressly permits in these leased areas. Of course, the leaseholder may agree to allow the permit to issue, as is subject to modification. Where the application by a riparian owner involves a private pier for private use, measuring 100 feet or more in length, and the pier traverses commercially productive oyster clam ground, as in 28.21205D applies. However, it only applies to piers. It does not provide for boat lifts, jet ski lifts, or other appurtenances. The only other structures that are provided for due to riparian rights are those for wharfing out. Having said that, our recommendation is as follows. While the Newmans initially indicated the pier, Ms. Newman indicated that they would prefer the pier to be located further to the south. The most recent correspondence from them indicates that they would prefer the pier builder opt for the 100-foot or less length, and of course the code provided 1 year delay in building the pier. does appear that the ground is, does have resource, and the substrate is suitable over the entire area of the Etheridge's riparian line, and actually continues well to the south of that line as the lease goes to the south. Since the ground is productive and the substrate appears suitable throughout the lease, 28.2-1205D of the code does apply and does require the commission to issue a permit for the pier, and states further that the permit may reasonably prescribe the design and location of the pier to minimize its impacts on the ground. It remains unclear to staff why the location of a minimal pier structure in the originally proposed location would present any greater impact to the lease than any other alternate locations that's been suggested by either the leaseholder or the applicant. Therefore, after evaluating the merits of the request and the leaseholder's concerns, and after considering all the factors contained within 28.2-1205 of the Code of Virginia, we do recommend a 5-foot wide by 222-foot long pier with two mooring piles along the originally proposed alignment requested by the applicant. Again, we would still not have any objection to some movement of the pier to the south. Again, a minimal pier of 5 feet by whatever length is appropriate, but we would suggest that it not be placed immediately adjacent to the southern property line of the applicant. Happy to attempt to answer any questions. It was a little complicated.
Oh, that was crystal clear, Beth.
Glad you think so.
Good question.
Mr. Caesar.
Did the opponents give to you any reason why the movement of that pier affects them one way or the other?
I think in the initial conversation was that as you do go south, the ground is not as productive. And I can't say that's not true, but when I checked the ground, just the substrate, everywhere we probed from that southern property line north, it felt to me like there was equal amount of either shell or oyster throughout the area of where this pier would extend, no matter where it was along that, moving it up and down the shoreline. So that's kind of why we came to the position at the end that the commission will issue a permit for a pier here, and it appears this is where the applicant would prefer it. And, you know, while we do want to, accommodate the leaseholder, that anywhere this pier goes is going to impact the lease to some degree.
Thank you. Ms. Haney.
According to the code, the leaseholder, if they were to build a 100-foot pier, would have 1 year to remove the oysters on the bottom.
They could exercise the right of up to a year to move oysters or shell out of the footprint area of the pier, after which, either after the year or if the leaseholder says they've done it sooner than that and tell the pier builder they're finished and they can proceed, then they must start building the pier within 3 months, though, of either the 1 year or the notification.
Does that stand true for a 222-foot pier if we were to approve it today? Is the same rules apply?
If you approve a pier of more than 100 feet today, that the 1 year still applies. They'd still have to allow the leaseholder time to move product out of the way. But we would issue a permit, and we would proceed under that. That's still a civil matter between the two of them.
Ms. Erskine.
Ben, I just had a question about the lease itself. Do you know how big the lease is? How many acres? Seemed fairly large.
It is pretty large. Not sure whether I have a copy of that.
You want me to go check that, Ben?
Maybe you might want to, but and the Newmans probably can tell you what it is.
That's fine. When we hear their testimony, it's fine.
I think in the neighborhood of like 90 acres or so. It's pretty good.
So it's relatively good size compared to the size of the footprint of the pier. Okay.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Stack. Mr. Butler comes back and has that figure. That would be great to interject.
We can give you that.
Mr. Etheridge here represented? Please come forward, sir. Need to swear you in here. Do you hereby swear to give the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God for the testimony today?
I do.
Thank you very much. Please state your names for the record.
I'm Grant Etheridge, the property owner, and I want to thank the commissioners and the staff, Mr. Watkins and Mr. Staggs, for their service and for the opportunity to speak today. We started the process back in March. We were trying to get the pier built before my son's wedding in June. I called Mr. Staggs, and he told me it could be done, but there was an oyster lease there in front of our property, and I would need to contact Mrs. Newman. And so I left several messages and never got any response. So we went ahead and filed the application, and we also got the neighbor's approval that they did not object to the boathouse. And then they had until May the 30th to object, and as you know, that's Memorial Day weekend. And so on Memorial Day weekend, I'm out in the boat with our children and grandchildren, nine of us, and Mrs. Newman came and brought one of her workers to speak in her behalf, and he began to scream out to me. I went up to meet him. He said, are you the preacher man? And he said, you build this where I stay, or you don't build it at all. And he said, is this getting through your thick skull? And he just made a scene in front of our family and grandchildren on Memorial Day weekend. My neighbors even asked, you know, what was that all about and what was he doing? I explained to him that day, we are more than willing to move it south or to modify in any way if we can just reach an agreement. That night, Mr. Zimmerman left a note on my car and asked me to call him, which I did, and he apologized for the man's actions and said, it's regrettable, and I was hoping I could talk to you. We did over the phone and in person, and I told him the same thing. We're willing to move it or modify it. We just need to reach a compromise. I even asked what would be acceptable to you. He said, we're going to VMRC in the morning and then going to the commission, so that's why we're here. You have the drawing of our proposal. You've heard the staff recommendation about the same location and the same length, but minimize impact. I actually canceled vacation and flew in last night, changing my airline tickets to be here today. So I do hope we can reach some kind of resolution. My builder is Bob the Builder, Mr. Livingood, and he can speak at the appropriate time about the water depth that's needed. He's been out to take the measurements twice. But you've heard the staff recommendation of just a pier of 5 feet going out, and that's all. My children and grandchildren right now, it's a large family. There's 14 of us. And if you take 5 feet right here and put little grandchildren on it, it's not safe. That's why we want the L head for them to be able to stand and wait to get on the boat and off the boat. We are proposing a compromise today. I have a drawing of it. Ben also has it.
It's on the screen.
And this second drawing meets the staff recommendation, but also allows us to have the L head at 100 feet like the lease owners have requested, 100 feet from mean low tide. My understanding, as you asked a moment ago, is regardless of the decision, we still have to wait a year, which means we lose two summers, this summer and next summer. We've already missed my son's wedding, and I would like to say to Mrs. Newman again today, we are willing to come back to the 100 feet from mean low tide. We're even willing to negotiate the size of it if I could start this summer, because I don't want to miss next summer as well and miss two seasons. Let me sum it up by just putting it into perspective for us. We've never had any conflict with them working that property out there, and we've always gotten along good. They have other oyster leases. I only have one backyard. if I can't build a pier comparable to other waterfront properties like ours, then it negatively impacts our property value for my children and children's children for years to come. When you just look at the lease itself, and I respect the rights of the leaseholder. I like oysters. But, you know, they may pay $100 or so. It's pennies on the dollar a year for that lease. I pay $13,000 a year on property taxes to have that waterfront property. So I just ask that they consider a compromise today that we might be able to start this year. And I thank you for your time and help in resolving this matter.
Anything to add?
I'm Bob Livengood. I'm the agent and the contractor. And if you notice on the sketches, we have the soundings, the mean low water soundings listed. So we tried an attempt with this second sketch to just put a minimal 5-foot walkway out to the 220 or 240 foot of the total length. 40 or 50 feet of that's in the yard and across the marsh. So it doesn't encroach any more than about 150 or 60 from mean low water out to what we've drawn on either drawing. But we were trying to get something minimal out into the lease to the very end so he could tie his boat up, because if we bring the pier into the 100 feet, he's not going to be able to get the boat on the lift at low tide. It's just not going to happen. So that's why the second drawing, we have the 5-foot finger pier going out with just two outboard mooring piles so he could tie the boat up when he comes in at low tide, and it wouldn't encroach on the, you know, as minimal as we think we could make it and still accomplish what we need to. So that was the difference for the revised drawing that we would like to see if we could get a compromise with.
Questions from the commission? Thank you very much. Is there anyone else present who wishes to speak in favor of this?
Yes, the lease is 78.55 acres.
Thank you.
Thanks. Anyone opposed? Good morning. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God? Thank you. Please state your names for the record.
I'm Timothy Zimmerman.
Carolyn Newman Zimmerman.
Terrific. Please.
We're the leaseholders. My wife owns the lease. It's been handed down through the years. I don't know exactly how many acres there are, but of that acreage, maybe a small percentage is actually productive ground. The rest of it is mud flats or mud. There's not oysters there. This particular piece of property has a lot of oysters on it. I haven't seen this new revised drawing yet, the pier, and I'm afraid I have to look at it a little better with my glasses on. But I know there's oysters there. And this pier is going to last for a long time. Typically, these oyster leases are handed down through the generations. I'm guessing about 100 years that this would impact the harvesting of the oysters. And conservatively, for a footprint that size, money, maybe $1,000 a year would be a conservative estimate for the amount of oysters that are in there. We're not opposed, and we can't be, that they have every right to build a pier, but we want to minimize it. We want to make it reasonable for everyone and have the least impact on our oysters that we need to. The boathouse, it just seems like an awful big footprint when we first looked at it.
I physically have worked this lease, this area, for the past 8 years, 9 years, and there, like I said, there's oysters on the point. And I'm sorry that Mr. Effridge, it's Lisdale, like you said, it takes his property value away from his home, but he lives in a mansion, which is good. Just how I feed, pay my electric bills, and buy my groceries. This would keep my family going. I'm nervous.
That's about all we have. I mean, this is, it's an economic thing for us, and I feel a pier is a kind of a luxury, you know, to have.
I mean, I want him to have a pier, but he's not going to take food from my mouth. That's all I got.
Questions from the commission?
I have a question.
Yes, sir, Cesar.
You saw the different locations for the pier.
Yes,
what is your reasoning to move it?
Well, I told him he could put it south, because all the way over on his property line is not quite as productive.
Yeah, there seems to be a little more mud to the south, and there's not as many oysters there.
What about the distance? You know, the original pier, I think, was 225 feet.
Yes,
if he moved it down to the south, would you have any problem with the pier being that length at down that location?
But, you know, if they give me a year to get my men on it and move it today, I bet I wouldn't have a problem.
Let me ask you one more question. If you and the applicant could work that out today, you heard him express the desire to kind of start construction, and he has to have basically your consent to do that. Do you think it would be some benefit between you and the applicant going out before we take a vote on this and talking and see if you can come up with something that you guys can agree to?
Well, I can take my men that work for me quite a while to, you know, remove what's
there.
What I'm saying is give you time to do that, but I'm talking about far as today, he's looking to get some sort of approval so he can, you know, get started after you guys have been able to take your oysters off.
Yes, well, according to what I've read is we have a year to get the oysters out of there. If the footprint of the pier, of course, if it's smaller than what they initially proposed, we could do it that much faster, I'm sure.
Okay. What I was asking, do you think it would be a benefit for you to talk with the applicant today, right now, before we take a vote on it, and see if y'all could work something out to your both of your benefit, and then you could come in here with an agreed proposal?
Yeah, we can do that. And, you know, this is the first I've seen of this drawing here, so I'd really like it explained to me, or, as I said, I don't have my reading glasses.
Mr. Commissioner, I don't know what the proper procedure is for dropping this matter down, as I would say in court, but if I would ask that we do that to give them an opportunity to talk.
I think that's a very good idea. And if you would, we'll give you a half hour, 40 minutes or so at most. If you could adjourn into the conference room over there, if you could sit down and talk over what the plans are, what you all can live with in a location, maybe if we can reach a compromise, we can move forward today to grant a permit. The code requires us to grant Mr. Etheridge a permit to build a pier. It's a matter of exactly where and exactly the dimensions. So if you can all work that out, that would certainly make it a lot easier for everyone. We'll move along to the next matter, and we'll give you some time, and then we'll come back to this.
Okay.
You need a motion or no?
I don't think we need a motion for that.
That's good.
We're basically just jumping around the agenda just for a little bit.